in September 1999. I was bitten in the USA whilst on holiday there with my son.
Right.
Straight away, I had the erythema migraines rash, and as we were going home the very next day, I saw a medic briefly to see what had been really what had bitten me. He knew what it was immediately. He'd seen thousands of cases.
Right.
Gave me advice.
Was that in the UK or?
That was in America.
In America, right.
Just before, but he didn't give me any medication because I was literally leaving the next day.
Right.
He gave me lots of advice for my GP.
Okay.
In that, to wait until I had the blood tests.
Right.
On my return to the UK, I did see my GP then, a different GP to what I have now, and they chose to completely ignore all the advice and took the blood test, which was ELISA, straight away.
Right.
Came back negative, as expected. I'd done a bit of research by then and knew that it would probably be negative. At that time, no other symptoms were present. I didn't have the flu-like symptoms. My relative who was with me on holiday was also bitten. And I spoke to their GP at length about Lyme. And he did take the advice. And she was put on a long, strong course of doxycycline. She is fit and well and has had no symptoms at all after that.
Right.
I, on the other hand, haven't. By December... by December of that year, 1999, I was starting to have show symptoms, and that was great fatigue, forgetfulness, and I had abdominal pains. By the following year, spring the following year, the symptoms had all worsened, and I'd got glandular fever in quick succession, glandular fever, meningitis, and after that, you know, hospitalised for meningitis.
Right.
Very swollen knee joints so that I couldn't walk, couldn't bear any weight.
Right.
I went to the doctors with the joint pain and was given Brufen and painkillers, which made it up when I realised, or we realised, that I was had reactions to painkillers and any opiates at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to have paracetamol, basically. Eventually, I was now beginning to think I was hypochondriac, because every doctor I saw, you know, they treated me. They treated me for the serious illnesses like the glandular fever and the meningitis, but the knee pain was just brushed aside. I wasn't, you know, there were no x-rays, no blood tests or anything. So eventually I persuaded them to have some blood tests, and I changed doctors as well. And she sent me to a rheumatologist who I had to pay for, incidentally. They wouldn't do it on the National Health.
Right.
For the knees, and was prescribed sulfasalazine for 6 weeks, and I had a cortisone injection. Her diagnosis was reactive arthritis.
Right.
So, which fitted in because I'd had meningitis and glandular fever.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any more blood tests done after that because every single one came back negative for the arthritis. I continued in great pain. I was now desperately unwell, unhealthy. I was depressed. People, the medical profession didn't seem to listen to me. Every step of the way I mentioned Lyme disease, and at every step of the way it was dismissed.
Right.
And not even a test, you know.
So by this point in time you hadn't yet been treated with antibiotics?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Absolutely nothing. You had a test for Lyme, came the cry, it was negative.
Right.
Haven't got it.
So you were denied treatment on the basis of the negative test. results.
That's right. And it was the ELISA test, and it was done too soon. It continued the pain, continued all parts of my body. I now have really bad headaches, almost continuous sinus problems. The memory loss was a great concern to everybody. I'm now with the present doctor, you know, the doctor I have now, who's been a help. And I was going to her all the time about joint pain and the abdominal pain. And in 2004, I was diagnosed with IBS and was given peppermint, excuse me, for the IBS. By summer that year, I had anemia as well, a lot of anemia. My blood count was 5. And I was admitted to hospital in that summer and given 5 units. I was transfused with 5 units of blood, and it was around that time that I had I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. So that followed in around that time, straight away, surgery.
Right.
And then I had chemotherapy for 9 months. I felt relief at having bowel cancer. I kind of blamed the bowel cancer for all the other things that I'd had.
Yes.
It was almost a relief to be diagnosed as something positive. I felt absolute despair prior to that. I knew I was ill, and everybody who... I'd even been accused of needing psychiatric treatment by a physiotherapist. You know, it's almost like banging your head against a brick wall. I know I'm ill. Why don't you believe me? And you're told constantly you're not. It's all in your head. So you kind of start believing, well, maybe it is. And then when I was diagnosed with the cancer, I thought, oh, it's the cancer's fault. That's why I feel ill.
Right.
After the I had chemotherapy for about 9 months or so. And during the chemotherapy, I didn't have any symptoms. The Lyme symptoms seemed to disappear.
Yes.
There was a time then when, after chemo, I was getting stronger because it wastes you away, and you are very, very ill with chemotherapy.
Yes.
So after the chemotherapy, when I became stronger, I was still Lyme-free of symptoms. I felt wonderful. And I thought all those things that were wrong with me must have been the cancer.
Right.
Because it's gone. I have had the chemo and I feel good. I put weight on and I felt positive. Unfortunately, that was probably the summer of 2005 that I was feeling like that. Well, by Christmas 2005, all the symptoms are starting to reappear.
How do you understand that now, in hindsight?
I think the chemo laid waste to the bugs.
Right, okay.
I think, you know, part of it was the psychology of getting over the cancer.
Yes.
And, you know, and the blame I'd attached to it for all the
right.
Things that were on. But sort of now, in hindsight, I think all that chemotherapy, and there were 2 different drugs that I had, and I was desperately ill with those drugs. And they were powerful, and I think they did have an effect on the bugs.
Right.
So I don't think the spirochetes like chemotherapy very much. So
how did you then get from there to where you are now with the Lyme diagnosis?
Well, the symptoms returned.
Right.
The memory loss went up several gears. I had frequent headaches, just constant pain, and my doctor referred me to a rheumatology clinic who did all the tests again, and then... Really, that went on from 2006 to 2009 or so. And still no antibiotics or anything like that. I was discharged from rheumatology clinic because they said they couldn't do anything for me. All my bones are perfectly all right. And they said, you have fibromyalgia. So I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia at that point. My balance had completely gone as well.
Right.
I couldn't balance very well. The memory loss was, it was dreadful. So much so that I said to my doctor, I'm really concerned about my memory, and my father had Alzheimer's, and I think I should have a few tests, and did.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back that I had vitamin B12 deficiency.
Right.
Which affects your memory, so we blame the vitamin B12 deficiency.
Right.
And it was just another, you know, sort of explanation to all these things. Lyme, again, was dismissed, although I have to say that this doctor was starting to prick her ears up a little bit.
Right.
And I'd by now done a lot of research, and by 2010 I was having all the B12, well, one 5 mil shot every 3 months, and found at that time, by the end of 2010, I'd found medical group. By 11, I'd had my first appointment. By 2011, I had my first appointment, and the doctor there sort of suggested that I have certain blood tests, which I had, and to up the B12 to once every 4 weeks, which we did. All the tests came back as Lyme positive, and she started me on the antibiotics. At this point, when I got the positive results for the Lyme, I went through a range of emotions. I felt weepy. I felt extremely angry that 12 years of my life had been wasted. I wanted to shout out at those concerned, that, you know, Department of Health, everybody. I wanted to educate them. There was such a range of emotions flooding through me at that time that it was very upsetting. I just wanted to cry all the time, actually. I just wanted I became very upset about it.
Yes, because I guess you were thinking of the missed opportunities.
Totally. Yeah.
And you know, the presumably also the long journey that you saw in front of you to actually reverse the harm that had been done to your body. I mean, is that how it felt at the time?
All of this, all at once. Huge. It was the feeling for other people who haven't been as lucky as I have in finding out what's wrong with me. I knew I had Lyme. I knew I'd learned from the beginning. But some people who are in the dark about how unwell they feel, and doctors not seeing the bigger picture. Okay, you can have glandular fever. And yes, you can have meningitis. Yes, you can have all this constant joint pain and sinus problems and headaches. But why not link them together and say, well, let's do a test for Lyme.
And presumably you're also aware of the published research around testing for Lyme with the ELISA in the early stages.
Yeah.
And that not being as accurate.
Yeah.
And yet none of that information was available to you or your GP, and didn't seem to be part of the system for assessing your case.
That is my point.
But also, having a bullseye rash can be diagnostic of Lyme disease in certain circumstances.
That is correct.
So you now feel those were very much missed opportunities.
Completely. At the first instance, I described my... In fact, there were photographs at that time. I don't think we've got them now, but this was all fresh. And there were photographs of my relative and myself with the bullseye rash. And this was... at every opportunity, I said about how it was a diagnostic and it indicated Lyme.
And but, you felt you were ignored?
Oh, totally. Totally, I was treated as if I was a complete idiot. And one doctor even said that we don't have Lyme in this country.
And yet you were bitten in America, so...
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't compute.
That didn't... They didn't take that into consideration.
No. Weren't listening. They weren't listening. So I just feel like all these years have been wasted. And now I have to pay for all this treatment.
What was the impact on your life by all of these events in terms of your health and how your daily life was changed? I mean, were you able to work or...?
No. Gradually. At first I was working. It became more and more difficult to work. I'm a biologist.
Right.
And my work... I'm an outdoor person as well. All of my family, my children, from very young, we're outdoor people. We climb, we walk, we hill walk. I was very fit. I ran. And the impact of Lyme on my life in the past now was terrific. It was substantial. It stopped it dead. So I couldn't work anymore. I don't work now. I can't walk very far. I have used a wheelchair to go on long distances just to get me out. It was phenomenal.
So it had a very major impact on your quality of life.
I don't have a quality of life anymore. I don't consider it, because once you have been fit and once you've been able to take charge of your own life, and you go to being virtually housebound. You know, you're depressed. You're angry. It's not a healthy...
Not a nice place to be.
Not, it's a dark place to be.
Do you think your experience is unusual, or do you think it's quite common?
I think it's very common, yes.
You've talked to other people with similar experiences.
Yeah. And, of course, you, because of your memory, you know, in the work that I was doing, you need your brain. And you need to be alert. You go climbing, you need your brain. And you have this brain fog all the time. Yes, I've spoken to people who are teachers. They can't teach anymore because they don't know what they're saying. They forget in the middle of a sentence what they're saying. So it's all... the impact is colossal, actually, on your life.